right. So hopefully we have everyone back on. Sean, are you on?
Yes, I am.
All right, great. Well, again, good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm excited with today, with the opportunity that we have. Our brother does not need any introduction. I think each of you know our brother, Sean Sprague. But it is exciting that we have him here to join us today as well, too. I think each of us are excited, or at least I am, with the coming of the holiday season. We were studying today in our Sunday school of the birth of Christ, and you think about that miracle that was given, and truly we have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be joyous of. And so with that, I would like to introduce again our brother and each of our friends, our brother Sean Sprague. Sean?
Good morning, everybody, and I thank all of you for dialing in and being willing to listen, and I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The message that I'm going to attempt to give you this morning is that God understands and knows that the times that we are living in are hard. He knows that things are not always going the way that we want them to, and that at times the world seems unfair, and that we don't understand why we are having to deal with the difficulties that we are being presented with by the world, and that it seems like a lot of the other people in the world that are doing wicked and evil things are at times doing better than we are as far as physical things are concerned. And he just wants us to know and understand that he knows what's going on and he understands it, but he still wants us to keep his commandments. And so he is asked me to read you two stories this morning. The first one that I'm going to read is Jonah, and I will read the whole story. And I want you to think about Jonah and the story of Jonah, and then I'm going to read the 11th chapter of the book of Mosiah, and it's the story of Alma and the people that were driven into the wilderness by the people of King Noah. So we're going to read those two stories, and I will talk to you a little bit about it afterwards. So I'm going to start at the first verse of Jonah and the first chapter. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth, with her bars, was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That's a mighty prayer. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So there we have the story of Jonah and the city of Nineveh, and what God did. Now we're going to read chapter 11, starting at the first verse, and I'm going to go to the 77th verse. So I will be reading some more again, just bear with me. And this is another group of people, whole different set of circumstances and different type of people. And we will see what happened to them, starting at the first verse. Now Alma, having been warned of the Lord that the armies of King Noah would come upon them, and had made it known to his people, therefore they gathered together their flocks, and took of their grain, and departed into the wilderness before the armies of King Noah. And the Lord did strengthen them, that the people of King Noah could not overtake them to destroy them. And it came to pass that they fled 8 days' journey into the wilderness. And they came to a land, yea, even a very beautiful and pleasant land, a land of pure water. And it came to pass that they pitched their tents, and began to till the ground, and began to build buildings, etc. Yea, they were industrious, and did labor exceedingly. And it came to pass that the people were desirous that Alma should be their king, for he was beloved by his people. But he saith unto them, Behold, it is not expedient that we should have a king. For thus saith the Lord, Ye shall not esteem one flesh above another, or one man shall not think himself above another. Therefore I say unto you, it is not expedient that ye should have a king. Nevertheless, if it were possible that ye could always have just men to be your kings, it would be well for you to have a king. But remember the iniquity of King Noah and his priests. And I myself was caught in a snare, and did many things which were abominable in the sight of the Lord, which caused me sore repentance. Nevertheless, after much tribulation, the Lord did hear my cries, and did answer my prayers, and hath made me an instrument in his hands, and bringing so many of you to a knowledge of his truth. Nevertheless, in this I do not glory, for I am unworthy to glory of myself. And now I say unto you, as you have been oppressed by King Noah, and have been in bondage to him and his priests, and have been brought into iniquity by them, therefore you were bound with the bands of iniquity. And now as ye have been delivered by the power of God out of these bonds, yea, even out of the hands of King Noah and his people, and also from the bonds of iniquity, even so I desire that ye should stand fast in this liberty wherewith ye have been made free, and that ye trust no man to be a king over you, and also trusting no one to be your teacher, nor your minister, except he be a man of God, walking in his ways and keeping his commandments. Thus did Alma teach his people that every man should love his neighbor as himself, that there should be no contention among them. And now Alma was their high priest, he being the founder of their church. And it came to pass that none received authority to preach or to teach, except it were by him from God. Therefore he consecrated all their priests and all their teachers. And none were consecrated except they were just men. Therefore they did watch over their people, and did nourish them with things pertaining to righteousness. And it came to pass that they began to prosper exceedingly in the land, and they called the land Helam. And it came to pass that they did multiply and prosper exceedingly in the land of Helam, and they built a city, which they called the city of Helam. Nevertheless, the Lord seeth fit to chasten his people, yea, he trieth their patience and their faith. Nevertheless, whosoever putteth his trust in him, the same shall be lifted up at the last day. Yea, and thus it was with this people. For behold, I will shew unto you that they were brought into bondage, and none could deliver them but the Lord their God, yea, even the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. And it came to pass that he did deliver them, and he did shew forth his mighty power unto them, and great were their rejoicings. For behold, it came to pass that while they were in the land of Helam, yea, in the city of Helam, while tilling the land round about, behold, an army of the Lamanites were in the borders of the land. Now it came to pass that the brethren of Alma fled from their fields, and gathered themselves together into the city of Helam. And they were much frightened because of the appearance of the Lamanites. But Alma went forth and stood among them, and exhorted them that they should not be frightened, but that they should remember the Lord their God, and he would deliver them. Therefore they hushed their fears, and began to cry unto the Lord, that he would soften the hearts of the Lamanites, that they would spare them, and their wives, and their children. And it came to pass that the Lord did soften the hearts of the Lamanites, and Alma and his brethren went forth, and delivered themselves up into their hands, and the Lamanites took possession of the land of Helam. Now the armies of the Lamanites, which had followed after the people of King Limhi, had been lost in the wilderness for many days. And behold, they had found those priests of King Noah in a place which they called Amulon. And they had begun to possess the land of Amulon, and had begun to till the ground. Now the name of the leader of those priests was Amulon. And it came to pass that Amulon did plead with the Lamanites, and he also sent forth their wives, which were the daughters of the Lamanites, to plead with their brethren, that they should not destroy their husbands. And it came to pass that the Lamanites had compassion on Amulon and his brethren, and did not destroy them because of their wives. Now Amulon and his brethren did join the Lamanites, and they were traveling in the wilderness in search of the land of Nephi, when they discovered the land of Helam, which was possessed by Alma and his brethren. And it came to pass that the Lamanites promised unto Alma and his brethren that if they would shew them the way which led into, if they would shew them the way which led to the land of Nephi, that they would grant unto them their lives and their liberty. But it came to pass that after Alma had shewn them the way that led to the land of Nephi, the Lamanites would not keep their promise, but they set guards round about the land of Helam over Alma and his brethren. And the remainder of them went to the land of Nephi, and a part of them returned to the land of Helam, and also brought with them the wives and children of the guards, which had been left in the land. And the king of the Lamanites had granted unto Amulon that he should be a king and a ruler over his people, which were in the land of Helam. Nevertheless, he should have no power to do anything contrary to the will of the king of the Lamanites. And it came to pass that Amulon did gain favor in the eyes of the king of the Lamanites. Therefore the king of the Lamanites granted unto him and his brethren that they should be appointed teachers over his people, yea, even over the people which were in the land of Shemlon, and in the land of Shilom, and in the land of Amulon. For the Lamanites had taken possession of all these lands. Therefore the king of the Lamanites had appointed kings over all these lands. And now the name of the king of the Lamanites was Laman, being called after the name of his father, and therefore he was called King Laman. And he was a king over a numerous people, and he appointed teachers of the brethren of Amulon in every land which was possessed by his people. And thus the language of Nephi began to be taught among all the people of the Lamanites, and they were a people friendly one with another. Nevertheless, they knew not God, neither did the brethren of Amulon teach them anything concerning the Lord their God, neither the law of Moses. Nor did they teach them the words of Abinadi, but they taught them that they should keep their record, and that they might write one to another. And thus the Lamanites began to increase in riches, and began to trade one with another, and wax great, and began to be a cunning and a wise people as to the wisdom of the world. Yea, a very cunning people, delighting in all manner of wickedness and plunder, except where it were among their own brethren. And now it came to pass that Amulon began to exercise authority over Alma and his brethren, and began to persecute him, and cause that his children should persecute their children. For Amulon knew Alma, that he had been one of the king's priests, and that it was he that believed the words of Abinadi, and was driven out before the king. And therefore he was wroth with him, for he was subject to King Laman. Yet he exercised authority over them, and put tasks upon them, and put taskmasters over them. And it came to pass that so great were their afflictions, that they began to cry mightily to God. And it came to pass that Amulon commanded them that they should stop their cries, and he put guards over them to watch them, that whosoever should be found calling upon God should be put to death. And it came to pass that Alma and his people did not raise their voices to the Lord their God, but did pour out their hearts to him. And he did know the thoughts of their hearts. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came to them in their affliction, saying, Lift up your heads and be of good comfort, for I know of the covenant which ye have made unto me. And I will covenant with this my people, and deliver them out of bondage. And I will also ease the burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while you are in bondage. And this will I do, that ye may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, and that ye may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions. And now it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease, and they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord. And it came to pass that so great was their faith and their patience, that the voice of the Lord came unto them again, saying, Be of good comfort, for on the morrow I will deliver thee out of bondage. And he saith unto Alma, Thou shalt go before this people, and I will go with thee, and deliver this people out of bondage. Now it came to pass that Alma and his people in the night time gathered their flocks together, and also of their grain. Yea, even all the night time were they gathering their flocks together. And in the morning the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon the Lamanites. Yea, and all their taskmasters were in a profound sleep. And it came to pass that Alma and his people departed into the wilderness. And when they had traveled all day, they pitched their tents in a valley, and they called the name of the valley Alma, because he led their way in the wilderness. Yea, and in the valley of Alma they poured out their thanks to God, because he had been merciful unto them, and eased their burdens, and had delivered them out of bondage. For they were in bondage, and none could deliver them, except it were the Lord their God. And they gave thanks to God, yea, all their men and all their women and all their children that could speak, lifted their voices in the praise of their God. And now the Lord said unto Alma, Haste thee, and get thou and this people out of this land, for the Lamanites have awakened and do pursue thee. Therefore get thee out of this land, and I will stop the Lamanites in this valley, that they come no further in pursuit of this people. And it came to pass that they departed out of the valley and took their journey into the wilderness. And it came to pass that after they had been in the wilderness 12 days, they arrived to the land of Zarahemla, and King Mosiah did also receive them with joy. So we have a story of two different men that were commanded to do something by God. One of them did it willingly, one of them did it grudgingly. But we also have a story of two different groups of people. The people of Nineveh were not doing the things that God wanted everyone in the world to do. They were very wicked people, so wicked that their evil had ascended up to heaven. The cries of the people that they had committed sins against and evil against, the wickedness had come all the way up to heaven to God, and he knew what was going on in that city. And he also knew what was going on with the people of Alma. He knew that those people had been good, that they had been doing everything he had asked them to do, and that they had been keeping his commandments, and that they'd been teaching each other and exhorting each other to be good. And yet those people were afflicted. They were captured and surrounded by evil people. They were put in bondage, and they were made to be slaves. And yet those people still continued to be good, even though they were in a terrible situation. And yet the evil people in the city of Nineveh, when Jonah finally agreed to do what God had asked him to do, those evil people decided, this is for real. We had better start doing what God has commanded us to do. And every single one of them repented. It was such an important thing to them that, I mean, they even covered up their animals with sackcloth and ashes. And there was about 120,000 babies or toddlers in that town, in the city of Nineveh. That's what I get out of this, that couldn't discern their left hand from their right hand. That many babies in that city. And Jonah wanted God to destroy them all. He didn't want them to have mercy, or God to have mercy on them. He wanted God to destroy them because they were wicked people. And when we look at the world and we see the wickedness of the world and we think, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and keeping God's commandments. And the world out there is just so wicked and full of evil, and they seem to be prospering, and they're not having problems like we think we're having. We don't want to be like Jonah. We need to remember that God loves each and every one of us, sinner and saint, the same. And that is the reason that he forgave the people in the city of Nineveh. Because he loved them the same as he loved the people of Alma. And that's the same reason that he delivered the people of Alma out of bondage. Because he loved them the same. But they had to be put into bondage and made to suffer. While the people of Nineveh never were put in bondage or made to suffer. And they had their sins forgiven. So it sounds like it's not fair. But it is. Because God has to treat each and every one of us with the same set of rules. They're his rules. He's the one that decided what they were. And he was very fair in it and very just. And he has to allow Satan to have time to do his work and try and get people to follow him instead of following God. It's just the way God has set it up, that he gives Satan time to do this. And we look at it and we think, well, this isn't right. We should be delivered. We should be healed of our afflictions now. We shouldn't have to suffer. We should be able to find work. We should be able to pay all of our bills, and we should be able to be surrounded by people that love us instead of hate us. But that's not what God has promised us. He said, "You do my will. You keep my commandments. And in the end, I will deliver thee out of bondage for eternity." He's made no promise that our lives are going to be great here on earth while we keep his commandments. He has told us that we will at times have to suffer, and at times we will be persecuted, but that we have to remember him always and do everything that he has commanded us to do, and to treat each other with loving kindness and respect. And there's no way out of it. We have to be willing to put up with all of the things of the world and still remember and strive and do our best to keep God's commandments. If we don't, we will not receive the promise of eternal life with God, but we will receive the promise of eternal death. God gave us a gift. He gave us the gift of choice. And we have to choose which one we want to do, whether we want to serve him or whether we want to serve Satan. And while we are serving God, we cannot look at the world and despise and hate them, because God loves them the same as he loves us. We must love them. We must pray for them. We must ask God to touch their hearts and soften their hearts towards us. And we must ask God to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. But we cannot ask God to condemn or to destroy them. Because if we do, then God will have to destroy us. Please remember that God knows what we're going through. He wants us to understand that he does know all of the trials and tribulations that we are going through here. and that he loves us very much. And he just wants us to understand that he is here and that he is doing what he can do for us at this time according to the rules that he has set up. He cannot force the rest of the world to be good. He cannot even force us to be good. But he is asking us and begging us to remember him always and keep his commandments. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean, and thank you for those lessons and those reminders. I'm going to stop the recording now.